You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off.
The year was 1982. Sylvester Stallone had two hit movies at the box office, Rocky III and Rambo First Blood. Hot games and arcades included Nintendo's Popeye and Donkey Kong Jr., as well as Q-Bert's Burger Time and Kangaroo. And
make
reaching
a kangaroo noise. Boing.
And reaching number 9 on the Billboard music chart was a song about Pac-Man.
What a world.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Back in the Day, IGN's Retro Podcast, brought to you by GameScoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is a few of the more retro-minded...
The old people.
Folks. Yeah, some of the old folks here at IGN.
The fogies.
Yeah. Including Sam Claiborne.
What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody?
Brian Altano is here. And Scott Bromley.
What's going on, Internet?
This show, we're focusing, theming it with the Pac-Man Fever, because the whole Pac-Man Fever album, which we'll get to in a second, is coming to Rock Band Network soon. You're going to be able to play Rock Band, all these great video game songs.
I know the kids have been asking.
Yeah. That was months ago that was announced. It was the biggest news of my life at that point.
Sam and I were very, very excited when that news came out.
I don't know how that's, so that's not out yet. I didn't know that.
It's finally happening now. And, so Pac-Man Fever was an album and a song. In 1982, that was actually very popular.
Yeah, top 10 Billboard hit. Yep.
And I have
And this
five...
is 2 years after Pac-Man came out.
Yes.
Yeah, but not that long after Ms. Pac-Man
Ms.
came
Pac-Man
out.
Ms. Pac-Man was huge.
Yes. Yeah.
The highest selling arcade machine of all time. Hundreds
but,
of thousands.
I mean, that's still the most like common Pac-Man, one you see today.
Ms. Pac-Man chlamydia doesn't really sell like Pac-Man fever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cells.
Which was an actual disease.
They had some follow-up singles. They had Do the Donkey Kong was actually their next single.
Do the Donkey Kong. So this is the funny thing.
Damon loves that song.
Yeah, this is the funny thing. Pac-Man Fever is not the best song on this record.
No.
It's not even a very good song.
No.
But Do the Donkey Kong is.
In fact, I have it, you know, on LP. I've had it for years. And, like, I love Side 1. It's great. Ode to a Centipede.
That's my favorite one.
Frogger.
That's the weirdest Froggy's one. Lament. The creepiest one.
But Side B has some amazing tracks in it. Like, I'm a Defender.
Defender is so
I'm
good.
I'm a Defender. Yeah. A Mutant Bender.
Yeah, they rhyme Mutant Bender with Mind Bender.
Yeah.
Those are
really good
rhyme.
And then Hyperspace. Hyperspace. Scott came and saw my band play, and I played Hyperspace for him on stage.
Really?
He did.
Well,
it was awesome.
And then Mousetrap, which is also an awesome game, and it's an obscure game, the most obscure game on the album, Mousetrap.
What is it? So track number 10 is Hostage.
Not on the LP. I don't know. That's
really?
Off the list.
That's
track.
Just a story
so
about them getting
they
kidnapped.
After they did Pac-Man Fever, they released a follow-up single after the album called E.T. I Love You. It was an E.T. exploitation record.
That one's on here.
It's on there?
It's on there? This one's on here.
It's sad.
Which is what I was going
to
say.
It's really sad. It's like, E.T., you came to me.
It's really sad. Yep.
So we're going to be talking about this through the show, but listeners, I have 5 copies of the Pac-Man Fever album. Sealed copies, only slightly cracked in shipping.
One for each Ghost and Pac-Man.
To give away. But as a cool little bonus, Buckner and Garcia were the masterminds, the musical masterminds behind this album. And I have the original album insert, which includes the Pac-Man mazes, the solutions to how to solve all the Pac-Man mazes perfectly. And they're signed by Buckner and Garcia, each one. So I have 5 copies of the CD and the signed insert.
And those mazes won't work on anything but the original cabinet because the AI has gotten so screwed up since then. Mm-hmm. But they totally work. I've tested them. I've learned them off of that insert.
So if you want a copy of this, just email us gamescoop@ign.com. Put Pac-Man Fever in the subject line, and I'll pick 5 at random over the next week to win this.
You got to spell Pac-Man right, too.
And I'll show you.
You got to get that hyphen. Yep.
I'll show you why you want this. I'll be playing some of the tracks during the show. Let's listen to a little bit of my favorite track from the album, Do the Donkey Kong, right now. What a song.
Wow.
What a track.
Wow.
They definitely did the Donkey Kong. Yeah.
When you're doing the donk, it's like there's no one else around but you.
I just can't imagine.
Climbing ladders.
Yeah.
You know what I love? Because, I mean, I've read the book, and Sam, you have it, the How to Win at Donkey Kong. And it's really weird to read, to go back. And because I remember growing up, you would see stuff like on cereal boxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, game tips and cheat codes and, you know, fool your friends. And it was always bullshit. Like, it was like, oh, man, you know, you can jump and get more mans. Try to do that. But you read that insert or you read How to Win at Donkey Kong, and it's like, no, this is how you actually do it.
Yeah.
You actually have to walk right to right here, go up to right here, go left to right here, go up, and you will win the game, and you'll win mans.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, cool old video game books. Mm-hmm. Like friends of mine have always like brought them like, yeah, have you seen this? And like, I kind of have a big paperback collection of that stuff now.
I just
it's
always
crazy.
Do you have the How to Win at Nintendo games?
Yeah, there's a huge. Yeah. I have like a box set of them. Like, they put them out like after they put them all out, they put them out in a box set. There's like 1, 2, and 3, and then there's also How to Win at Super Mario, How to Win at Nintendo Sports Games.
Wow,
whoa,
yeah,
that's really cool.
There's all kinds of, and the How to Win at Super Mario one is like a pink paperback. It's really cool, and they have no pictures in them
because Damon,
it's like solid text.
We've talked about these before, about those books. A lot of the books that they had back then were usually just like totally unauthorized video game codes. Yeah, yeah. And it's a picture of a fox like with a knapsack, like he's going on vacation. Yeah. And they're like, we couldn't get pictures of anything. And then it's like you open it up and it's like, Donkey Kong, try and get the purse.
It's like Nintendo Power's unofficial Nintendo art, where like where they saw like this beautiful anime stuff, like maybe in a Famicom manual. Mm-hmm. They're like, we can do that better.
Yeah,
and then they just like have some intern like draw some like chicken scratches, and they look so bad. You guys imitated those.
We did. IGN Do Power.
Yeah,
that was wonderful, actually. We take it for granted that we can take footage and screenshots of any game we want anytime. But back in the day, there's no way to do it. I remember early video game magazines, it was so obvious that they were just taking a photo of their TV screen.
Because the score was in everything, and they like stitched it together.
And early video game magazines were like, do you want to be in the high score page? Yeah. Here's what you have to do. And it was like, hire a professional photographer.
Hire a professional photographer. Turn out all the lights. Yeah. Light a candle. Hold a kitten up to a mirror.
Pause the screen
eyes.
Right here. Make sure they don't do this because of video interlacing.
You did have to show your console in the same image.
Yeah.
And I was always like, well, you can just have a friend come over and just plug in a console and go next to it if you didn't. But that was to show if you had Game Genie sticking out.
This is a true story. You remember Pitfall 2 on Atari? We were playing on 7800. There was some
not
deal.
Super Pitfall.
No, Pitfall 2.
Okay. Oh, the symbiote, patches?
If you'd beaten it, yeah, if you'd beaten it, we wanted to get that patch. Yeah. You had to beat it and like send in a photo of the ending stream. So I was at my friend's house during the summer. We were out of school, home during the day, playing Pitfall 2 all day. We finally beat it. And his grandma was actually home, like watching us. We were like fifth grade or something, fourth grade. So we were so excited that we had beaten Pitfall 2. We got his grandma to come down to take a photo of the TV screen. And we're all standing in front of the TV. And it's like silent. She's like bending down, taking the photo. We're like, we're really looking at our high score, really pleased with ourselves. We just hear this crash. And his grandmother had like passed out and fallen back through their glass top coffee table.
Did you kill her?
No, she was stunned and disoriented, but she had a little cut on her
her
back.
God, fell through like, the glass
she
coffee
like,
table.
Was bent over trying
the
to take a photo.
Was
of this
that
thing.
Good?
She like fainted or passed out or something and crashed through the.
It would
the
be great
table.
If 4 months later you come to the hospital and you're like, we have a patch for you.
I was gonna ask, did she eventually take
it on her?
Put it on her.
She's hooked up to everything. Completely out.
Grandma, we have one last thing to give you.
Anyway.
She at least take the photo after?
I think one of us finally took the photo. I never got the patch, though.
Yeah. They're giving away Warlords patches at E3. Did you see those?
Yeah. So that's another old game that Atari's bringing back. Mm-hmm. Did you?
They had a whole booth of them.
Yes.
Yeah. They had a whole booth of Atari comebacks, and they were all in horrible 3D.
That's what Atari's doing right now. They put out Yar's Revenge recently on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah. So that game at least had a really pretty look, and it had kind of a cool idea. They're gonna do this anime super intense Yar's Revenge game. Didn't work out.
I know. When I heard that was coming back, I said, wait a minute, that game's about a fly in space, and now it's about a woman who evolved
now
from a fly.
Sin and Punishment.
Yeah, it did look like Sin and Punishment, and not nearly as good. I don't know what really went wrong. Like when I first saw people playing it in the videos, it's like, wow, this looks kind of awesome. And you just kind of sit there and play, and you're like, hey, I'm shooting stuff.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a game.
Then again, that's how I feel when I play Yar's Revenge.
They did the same with the Centipede remake. Scott and I played it. And it's
you guys
like,
played it?
Yes.
It's like when you go to a foreign country and like you're like, oh yeah, I'll have a hamburger, and they bring it to you, and you're like, what the hell is this?
It's the Centipede.
Or you ask for a Centipede, and they give you that.
The Centipede remake is exactly how you envisioned what the game would look like if it was exactly like the box art.
Oh yeah.
But it was more like the box art from Millipede, where it was that wizard like shooting a magic wand at this giant millipede. You're like, that would be awesome if that's what it really was instead of a block.
I think they gave the guy like a Contra gun or something too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah. It looks like a top down spray bullets game.
Yeah.
Not really what.
So Centipede's it looks like about. The box art, but plays terribly.
Mm-hmm. And Centipede's kind of like cute and appealing and colorful and interesting.
Isn't Centipede the first game designed by a woman?
Yeah, Donna C. Bailey designed it, co-designed it.
That's some good trivia for you listeners.
Yeah, with Ed Logg, who's another famous designer. And you can see, if you go to a Centipede machine, turn it on, and it saves the top three high scores usually, but you can always see DB is one of them, Donna Bailey, and then Ed Logg is always in there as, I think it's ELG or Logg or something.
Logg.
It's ELG.
It's cool, because that's one of the only games that saves high scores always, and they're always in there.
You know, I just realized next year will be the 30th anniversary of Pac-Man Fever.
Wow.
That is incredible.
We're old.
Wow. Yeah. In 2002, 20 years after Pac-Man Fever struck the nation, a game called Pac-Man Fever was released on GameCube and PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I always wanted to play that.
It was like a party. It was like a Mario Party.
It was
party
a Mario Party game,
style.
But it only had like 30 mini games in it.
It was not good.
IGN gave
who could you play as?
Pac-Man. Well,
there was Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man and Junior Pac-Man.
They couldn't have had Ms.
No, Ms. Pac-Man.
Don't they like disavow all knowledge of Ms. Pac-Man?
They do.
Do they?
Yeah. They do. Yeah.
Ms. Pac-Man isn't a real game.
We went to the Pac-Man Q&A. All of us were there, right?
Yeah.
Everyone was asking questions about stuff like that, and at the end...
What do you think of Ms. Pac-Man?
Somebody goes, what do you think of Ms. Pac-Man? And he's like, that's it, I'm out. No more questions tonight. And they left.
It's a better game.
It is. Yeah. It is. I don't think there's anybody that would debate that, really. I mean, it's the best Pac-Man game.
I think Scott and I think Pac-Man's better, right? Don't we talk about this?
I like Ms. Pac-Man better, but of the Pac-Man games, Pac-Man Plus is better.
Yeah, well, I agree. I like Pac-Man Plus. But so, like, the thing about Ms. Pac-Man is that it's a better game. It's a cool game. It's really cool. It's fun. It's fast. Fast version. Fast chip. But, like, Pac-Man is just, like, it's so undeniably awesome.
Oh, no.
Like,
I would never say
it's not
awesome.
Just, like, the aesthetics of it and, like, you know, the event of Pac-Man coming to the scene. It's just like it's like almost overpowering. Like, if you're living through the time, even though you'd be like, oh, I remember Miss Pac-Man more, because Miss Pac-Man was even more ubiquitous than Pac-Man somehow. How'd that happen? I don't even know. But those games are super popular.
Yeah, they're
ladies.
They were in airports, you know?
Yes.
You just get off your plane and be like, yeah, go play some Miss Pac-Man.
They were in grocery stores.
Yeah, grocery stores.
Miss Pac-Man and Galaga are the two machines I still see everywhere.
Yeah.
I think Galaga is common like out in California. I do see that one here a lot. I don't know if that was, I mean, that was a popular game for sure, but. There's so many popular games that you don't see. I mean, you don't see Centipede that much.
Uh-uh.
I don't know why.
Galaga was definitely big on the East Coast when I was growing up. Like, you'd go on a pizza joint in New York, and they'd be like, yep, there's a Galaga.
Dig Dug was huge, and you don't see Dig Dug machines a lot.
I never really saw Dig Dug blow up.
Dig Dug's a gorgeous machine.
Yeah, I love the side art on Dig Dug.
What about some of the other Pac-Man? What about, Junior Pac-Man was the one that had the pinball machine part of it, too?
That's Baby Pac-Man.
Baby Pac-Man. Okay, I'm sorry.
Have you ever played that?
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's cool.
Oh, really?
I liked it
when I was a kid, it's just the novelty of having pinball and video
It's neat
video
because
games.
You go, you know, Pac-Man goes out the side and then appears as a pinball.
No, he goes down the bottom.
Down the bottom. And just falls out as a pinball. Like, you don't plunge it, you know? It just falls out like it's Pac-Man. The thing about it is that the actual Pac-Man game is, like, really plain. It doesn't look like, it looks like a knockoff.
It looks like an Atari 7800 game.
Yeah, exactly. Or a Commodore game.
It doesn't have any. The blue ghost is gone. It's a green ghost.
So they're all one color.
Non-canon.
No, they're all not canon. They're all different colors, but like everything's off.
Sky and I have been looking at a Pac-Man spinoff. It's Miss and Mrs. Pac-Man. It's a full pinball machine. It's just a pinball machine.
Yep.
But it's,
you've been looking at it.
Well,
Craigslist.
Oh,
it's like Craigslist
sometimes, and it's really cool. It's like this.
Yeah.
It's a Pac-Man themed pinball machine, you know. It's a, but Mrs. and Mrs. Pac-Man has them both in it.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man.
Is it like
they're running the back glass is Pac-Man in a tuxedo dragging Miss Pac-Man with him, like they're running out of the church, getting chased by ghosts.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this a bootleg or was this a
this was actually
I've
released.
Never heard of this one
because you know Midway made the. Pac-Man machines, even though Namco, you know, was responsible for Pac-Man, they programmed it. But when it came here, Midway made all the machines, and Midway, you know, was a pinball maker, so there was no problem for them.
They also made a Space Invaders pinball machine at the same time.
Which I don't know if it's linked to Space Invaders, because it has a scary alien on it. It doesn't look like Space Invaders at all.
So did the Space Invaders.
Yeah, but that's a scary, like, Wolfman alien inside of Space Invaders.
Yeah, that's just like a nebulous monster.
I love that monster.
Do yourself a favor, if you're listening and have never seen the side art of Space Invaders, because it is freaking cool.
It's great.
It's like 70s, like, sci-fi, like, it just looks
great. When I was in the market for an arcade cabinet a few months ago, which was pretty much inspired by you, Sam, Space Invaders was definitely up there for me. Even though I'm like, I'm not crazy about that game, it's very slow paced. And then the problem with that game for me is that one time in my head I pictured what would happen if this was an actual alien invasion and they had landed at the thing at the bottom, and they were just like, now what?
We're here.
You guys shot up your own goddamn bases. Thank you.
You did it. Okay, we're here. But I don't know. But the cabinet itself is gorgeous.
Yeah. And that's one where it has like, it's like the monitor's recessed and then like projected on a mirror in the background. Mm-hmm. So it has this cool like ghosting
moon,
effect.
It's like a ghost moon
base. And then
it has
a moon in front of it. Oh, those are such pretty machines.
Yep.
Is Super Pac-Man the one where you can grow giant?
Yes.
And there's locks, there's walls that you can eat through them when you're giant.
Ex-editor Levi Buchanan has that machine.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
It's a cool machine, too, because it's like, and it's cut out. It has like Pac-Man's face, but like it's the contour of his mouth is like cut out on the sides.
It's actually cool the way that the cabinet lines up on the outside is Pac-Man's mouth.
That's supposed to be a really fun game.
It is.
Honestly never played it.
It's also like if you're really good at it. I got really, really good at Super Pac-Man in college. I could play that game for like 2 or 3 hours.
So that must have been its downfall then, was that it was too easy.
It is, because
I've heard that before.
Because what you do is you just get the super pellet, and as soon as you get the super pellet, you can hit a turbo button, and you just race through the maze, and you can clear the maze on one pellet, and then just move on. And you just, if you know the pattern that you need to go in, you can just run through them. And the ghosts, when you're super, you just walk right through them. They don't need to be... Like, you don't have to have a power pellet to eat them and turn into eyeballs. They're their regular
pastel
colors.
I mean, that and Miss Pac-Man are built on the Pac-Man board, I would assume, right? Like, make tracks. Like, that is, like, a Pac-Man, like, essentially modified board.
Yes.
Because there's lots of Pac-Man modified board games.
Did you ever play
that Squid one?
Did you ever play, the Squid one.
That was popular.
The Squid one was really popular. I remember playing that at a bootleg arcade in Texas, where they also had right next to it was a Super Mario Brothers versus, and Mario was riding a skateboard. I'm serious.
Wow.
Like, the sprite was of Mario on a skateboard.
Was it Master Higgins' skateboard?
It was so weird.
It was like a ROM hack?
Yeah, it stayed with me forever.
Yeah.
And I found it on a MAME. And it was like some weird, like the guy just mashed the home row the title of the game, whatever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, but it was.
And I was like, holy shit, this is it!
That weird Mario.
Yeah, that weird Mario game.
So you were mentioning Baby Pac. There was also
Pac and Pal.
There was also Pac-Man Jr., which is actually like more of a Pac-Man type game. And it is that one has cutscenes just like Pac-Man, but the thing is it scrolls, and it's an early scrolling game. It doesn't work so hot. So like the maze is a little bit wider, I think, is what it is, than the vertical screen. So you're kind of going, you're going back and forth, left and right.
But then on top of that, the fruit, when it goes around the maze, it will land on the power pellets and then make the power or the regular pellets and make them even worth double the points. But the problem with grabbing those is it slows you down so the ghost can catch you.
Yeah. And then the game he was talking about came out between Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. They're picking Pac-Man Plus. Or, But Pac-Man Plus is like a modified Pac-Man board. And then they made like Crazy Auto, you know, off of the Pac-Man board that was bootleg that became Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
So Pac-Man Plus is like an authorized, like, this is what you can put in your Pac-Man machines. And then, like, it was just totally tanked.
Yeah. It's weird. It's too hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. They, like, change it. So some of the ghosts don't change sometimes. So you can't do patterns anymore. You can do patterns for half the levels, and then they, as soon as they start changing, like you get a power pellet, and then one of them stays evil.
You can do the patterns up to Grape Daiquiri.
Yeah, yeah, and then the fruits are all different. There's a martini glass, there's a martini. Coke can. It's pretty cool. It looks like a daiquiri.
Are all these different Pac-Man games, were they all developed in Japan? Except for
Ms. Pac-Man was
the only American one. Have you ever played Pac-Man Pal?
I have not.
Pac and Pal.
And Professor Pac-Man, too.
Yeah, Professor Pac-Man, he taught you how to do math. Pac and Pal. It's true. It's real. Pac and Pal was
trivia.
Like, you had, like, remember that Nintendo game, The Adventures of Lolo?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So it was like that character, but it was green. And it would walk around the screen with Pac-Man and take the, I guess it was like playing cards or something, and flip them over, and you had to eat ghost and save it.
What era was this?
Oh, God, wait. I think I have played this.
Yeah, it's weird.
This is bringing back a haunted
It was like 1983. It was right. It was when.
So it's early, though. It's not like 16-bit
graphics. No. It was in the arcades. It was when they started going, wow, fuck, I don't know what we do.
So pre-Pac-Mania. Pre-Pac-Mania.
Definitely pre-Pac-Mania.
Pac-Mania was isometric.
Yes.
3D
That's
model
a cool game. Where you can jump as Pac-Man.
You can jump over him. Yeah.
I always hated that game.
Yeah,
really?
I just loved the look of it.
It looked great. It looked like, I mean, a lot of games of that era looked great. Like, but they just didn't hold. Like, I remember going into an arcade and playing it and being like, Pac-Man in 3D, awesome. Yeah. And then it's just like it didn't play like the Pac-Man.
What about Pac-Land? That was a disaster.
Oh, God.
That's the side-scrolling platform. Yeah.
Based on the cartoon.
Yeah, it looks like the cartoon. I used to watch the cartoon.
It has the music. It plays the theme song.
I loved when they randomly were like, one year they'd be like, oh, he has legs. And the next year, no, he doesn't. Yeah. Like if they, no,
that was the next month.
I know, it was so
weird.
Like
month to month. Like sometimes he's just the iconic yellow, like circle.
Yeah.
Even in like print and stuff, they like use that. And then he'd have a guy running,
and he'd have legs. The hat
and
the legs.
Then there's the whole Pac-Man cartoon era, which I think looks awesome. I think that Pac-Man looks really good. And then how it got to like the Pac-Man we have now in 3D, like with like the old Pac-Man eyes, but just a big round sphere.
Yeah.
With, I would like love gloves. That is like the ugliest one of
it's
all.
It's really weird.
How did they get to that?
I want to see a 3D realized version of the Pac-Man on the side art of the arcade in America. That like,
oh yeah,
that weird gremlin looking dude.
Yeah, he
looks like one of the ghosts essentially.
Yeah,
he looks like a yellow man with feet and
he looks
arms.
Like a tadpole with legs.
And awesome orange eyes.
I want to see like a fan
eyes.
Mod of the original Pac-Man where they just put arms and legs on him, or and they're just stuck inside the tunnel. Like. He just looks like a guy stuck in like a mine shaft or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
His arms are flailing around.
I remember I was looking at a machine a while ago that's called it's a terrible game. It's called Kickman, and it's like you're a clown going around the bottom of the screen and collecting shapes. But here's the weird thing is that it was the first game to have Pac-Man in it after Pac-Man, because it was from like 80. Mm-hmm. And I guess Namco or Midway or someone had to do it with making this machine, but like it's just there's Pac-Man in it. It's just really weird to see that. And you see like parts of the Galaxian is in Pac-Man, and so like using those little sprites is kind of cool. Like, we need to kind of trace like what went around in those, or like I mean the ships in Galaga. I think some of those are from Galaxian also, but the actual ship is really different. But that Galaxian you collected as a fruit in Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like the head is right before the top one.
I'm interested to see what this Galaga Legion DX is going to be like.
It's going to be nothing like Galaga.
Yeah, well, so Legions we saw last summer, right?
Well, that was the one? That one already came out.
Yeah.
But now they're doing the DX version of that.
Okay.
So.
So that game was cool and it was intense, but it was
yeah,
tough.
Visually beautiful, but yeah, it wasn't nearly as good as Pac-Man Championship Edition or DX.
Yeah, for sure.
Few things are.
I know.
I know, like some of those old arcade games, like those are the easiest things to get girlfriends to play. And like I've always like known that like girls can get into Centipede and Galaga and stuff like that. Like I've always met girls who are like, oh, I like old, you know, games like Galaga. Mm-hmm. Like, I hear that, but then you put them in front of a game like that, it doesn't work at all. It's yeah. like that is not the essence of what makes it. And that's the same yeah. thing for the Centipede and the Burger Time, the new Burger mm-hmm. Time, all that stuff. It's just like they miss out on some like really universally attractive magic.
Yeah, there is a reason why the whole nation had Pac-Man fever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not because of, you know,
I thought it was great when we saw the Pac-Man creator talk, and he was talking about how his boss said, oh, make all the ghosts red. And he's yeah. like, no, that's crazy. And she's like, no, trust me, it's going to work. Make every ghost red. Yeah. And he was like, all right, I'm going to go around the office. I'm going to ask every single person
take
here.
Take a poll.
Take a poll. And every single person was like, no, she's crazy. Make them all different colors. And they came back. And then that's how we have the Pac-Man we have. I don't think that...
Yeah, and she was saying that because she thought that people would think like, oh, this one's a good one, but what's up with these other three? Yeah. Because of the color?
Yeah, like, no, like, they're ghosts.
I've never, I can't imagine having that impression.
No, I never
and
looked at,
all
like...
kill you within the yeah. first couple seconds.
I never looked at the blue one and was like, oh, he's cool. I was like, no, he's lazy, but he's going to kill me either. If I turn a corner and he's there, I'll die. Not just because... I won't be safe because he's blue and cute.
Yeah, that was a really cool
Even
factoid.
As a three-year-old playing it for the first time, I knew that the light blue ghost was different than the dark blue ghost.
I know.
Ghost.
Well, I mean, there's something wrong with you,
We've
son.
All seen chimps play Pac-Man. They even understand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chimps.
I love that. The chimp playing Miss Pac-Man on the Genesis. It's real.
Hey, that's how Planet of the Apes began. I've seen the trailer.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
You don't even need to see the movie after seeing that trailer.
No. So if there's a it's monkey all, out there okay. playing Mappy, watch
okay.
the
James
fuck Frank, out.
James Franco's on this. He's going to save us.
Yeah, he'll take care of it.
Brian, you recently bought and refurbished a Donkey Kong.
I did.
Cabinet.
I did. It was cool. It was a really interesting experience.
It's your first cabinet you bought, right?
Yeah, first and probably last until I get because I live in a San Francisco apartment, so it's like
usually one per girlfriend, right? So if you just get two girlfriends,
yeah,
you can two apartments.
Well, if
how
that,
many girlfriends do you have hidden in your house, Sam?
Yeah, you have like
I keep
eight
finding
girlfriends.
New rooms.
But yeah, speaking of girlfriends playing games, like Donkey Kong is not the type of game that most girls can.
Well,
it's
a difficult game.
It's a very difficult game. But
that girls can't play difficult games. I'm not saying
no, but it's one of those things. It's like if you don't really want to dedicate yourself to it, like you have to really get in there and practice a lot. But yeah, it was a really fun experience. Like I went shopping around for him for a while, drove all the way to San Jose, picked it up on like the world's rainiest night, drove up the world's tallest mountainous street in San Francisco, holding onto it in the back of my girlfriend's
car. Check this
car.
Out. He could have saved himself like $50 if he would have been able to get the highest score.
Yeah. So I get there and it was like this former frat was selling it and it was in pretty good condition. So I knew I was going to have to put some, a little effort into it. But these kids are like, hey, we'll knock off $50 if you could get the high score on this. And I looked at their high score and I was like, nope, that's gonna take me a few months to get there. I was like, take my money, I don't care. I'd rather have that than
it was in like a frat house.
Yeah, and I was like, the first it started
like
out
they'd used it for like rush
it started out
stuff,
in
right?
a in a barbershop, and then it ended up in a frat house, and it was like to like fraternity hazing. Kids had to play this Donkey Kong cabinet.
That's so
and
fun.
They had like
that's
these
my kind of fraternity.
They had these scores behind it, and it was like, if you don't get 10,000 points by this amount, blah, 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 like we'll beat you or something, or you have to drink.
Yeah, but this backs up my theory that I've shared with you, and we agree on, I think, that Donkey Kong, well, and all gaming really, but Donkey Kong, when you're drinking and playing Donkey Kong, there's mm-hmm. this really neat arc to like your ability to beat it or play well.
Yeah.
And if you have a few drinks, like for some reason, like I would never say this about any other games really, like because drinking impairs your skills, right? Driving, whatever. But for Donkey Kong, you get better for a little while.
You do for a little while, and then you fall off so fast. Like off of one life, you'll get 45,000 points and be like, wow, I did this. This is amazing. And then the next, you'll play another game and it'll be like, I got 700 points. I don't know what happened, but I'm going to sit down.
But you can sit there and play sober for a long time and be like, I'm not doing so good. You sit there, you know, it's Friday night. You're like, I got some time before I go out. Have a nice glass of scotch. You're going to play some Donkey Kong. It's the best feeling on earth, man. Everybody needs a Donkey Kong.
It's a really beautiful cabinet, too. And the reason I like it so much is because I feel like we owe a lot to Donkey Kong. Like, I honestly think we wouldn't be here today.
Well, Chris Kohler from Wired claims that that's the first, like, narrative ever told in a video game.
I guess you could probably say that. But, I mean, you guys know the story of Donkey Kong where they got the cabinets shipped here to Nintendo of America where there were only, like, five people at the time. And
the Radar Scope cabinets.
Radar Scope cabinets, and they're like, oh, we put a new game in there because Radar Scope was tanking.
It's kind of a cool game. I just saw a video of it for the first time. It's kind of interesting.
So they turn on the Donkey Kong cabinets, and all the guys were like, shit, we're screwed. Donkey Kong, really? Japan, this is what you sent us?
Because they were scrambling like back in Japan to like come up with something.
Well, they were trying to call it
popular.
Monkey Kong, right? But it's just like...
Well, that's really debated.
Yeah. Well, it's all because they couldn't get the Popeye license.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
No, but the name thing, there's like two theories. There's one is the stubborn monkey backwards translation dictionary theory. And I think that's the one that Miyamoto sticks to now.
Yeah.
Is that they were trying to just say stubborn monkey and not just misspell Monkey Kong. I guess that makes them look less stupid in some way.
So they took these cabinets and they're like, all right, look, we'll test them out. And they put them like in a few laundromats and pizza stores and stuff like that. And then they came out the next day expecting to find like a couple quarters. And they were all just packed with money. And they're like, this thing's a hit. So they started getting more and more cabinets coming in. All the people at Nintendo of America started, like, they learned how to build the cabinets themselves, paint them. They had the Donkey Kong blue, which is a color I had a hunt down at a Lowe's recently, like with the exact swatch, which was how to paint the sides.
That's interesting because if you find a red Donkey Kong machine, it means it's a converted radar scope.
Yeah.
And they're cool
and looking. More valuable, right?
They're I mean, but still like $600 compared to, you know, $200 to $300.
Yeah.
But it'd be awesome to have one. I mean, there's probably, I think there's like 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and what's left of those?
They started selling so many of these things that Nintendo of America was able to build their homeland here in America. Like, they built their offices off of Donkey Kong. So I was like, all right,
it's weird that their
Nintendo.
Second game was a hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and they did a bunch of other games like right then, so I don't know if that really is the full story. Because like I keep seeing like really weird little Nintendo games.
Then they must have gotten that Popeye license because they did their Popeye game.
Yeah, they did eventually
get the Popeye license.
Which is a really good game.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. Donkey Kong.
That's the
basically.
One I'm looking for right now.
Is a great game.
It's a really good
game. Yeah, we played a lot of that, I think, at California Extreme last year.
It's a beautiful cabinet, too.
It's so cool. It has really nice art, and it's kind of Nintendo-fied. Popeye art, it looks like the Mario and Donkey Kong.
It's still
all
model.
Those Nintendo machines are just gorgeous. They just have art like top to bottom.
The cabinets are really cool. Like I had to go in and buy the T molding, which is that white outline you get for it. And basically sand down the whole thing, put new paint in, and it looks really beautiful now.
And you didn't do any electronics work. You didn't have to
have to.
The sound on it still doesn't work.
The sound effects work, but the music does not.
I have to
get that fixed. Yeah. It's a weird glitch, but
What can you do?
Yeah.
Well,
I love Donkey Kong, but just like Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man, I prefer Donkey Kong Jr.
Wow. Really? That's a bold statement.
Really? You think so?
I prefer Donkey Kong 3.
I want to talk about it. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm going with this.
No,
I think Donkey Kong 3 is actually a cool game.
No, it is a cool game, yeah.
Not. I think an overlooked game.
Whenever you see those cabinets, it's like, who bought these for their arcade?
That's right.
And like, why are they still around? Like, that is a cool rare
game. They bought
them
for their arcades because they're like, oh, it's the third one after the last two, which were good. So what could possibly... Whoa! It's about a gardener?
It's a gardener named Stanley. It's more of a shooter.
Yeah.
You shoot a beehive.
Yeah, you shoot like bug spray.
We never saw that character again, did we?
No. Stanley he's only returned as statues in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
But Pauline is always in those Donkey Kong Game Boy games, one of which just came out for the 3DS.
An awesome one just came out for 3DS.
Oh, well, Donkey Kong
94.
The Game Boy Color game.
Which I would say like
is not
after the first Donkey Kong is like my favorite Donkey Kong.
It's a great game.
It's play the first four levels of Donkey Kong.
Regular Donkey Kong.
And then there's 96 more.
Yeah, it's just
how cool is that?
It's so awesome.
And that's how they set it up,
too. That's a great retro game idea. Like, so much better than, like, the new Burger Time or the new Centipede. Like, that is the way to do it. You know, you, like, take this, like, great, great game and then, like, modernize it in these simple ways instead of...
Yeah.
Ground up stuff.
But Donkey Kong Jr. is fantastic. And my girlfriend's been bugging me to, because we can get.
Now, is there a missing level in the home versions of that one?
I'm not sure. I don't think so, because there is in the original Donkey Kong. But yeah, my girlfriend's been asking me, because I can get my arcade thing modified to get that on there too. So it'll
be both of them.
So you have both you can switch through. But I love
Why
Donkey
not go for
Kong
the trifecta?
Jr. And get, go for get so Stanley in the house?
The reason you can't do that, I think, is because the monitor for that one is
taller.
Is horizontal instead of vertical. Always the limit with these old arcade machines is that they either have one orientation or the other for these giant monitors. Like, you know, say Moon Patrol is horizontally Like, and then, you know, Pac-Man's vertical. You think it's tall and thin. That's why those never look good when you get them on, like, Xbox Live. They like, if you have a widescreen monitor now and you try to do Pac-Man, like, the aspect ratio leaves, like, you could put three Pac-Mans next to each other on that.
Yeah, we were having this weird glitch on my machine where my brother and his girlfriend were over, and they were playing two-player, and every time they took a turn, the screen would flip upside down. So I was like, what the hell is going on? So I came and I told Sam, and I'm like, I hope this isn't something I have to pay for to fix. And he's like, no, that's for when you lay that thing down as a cocktail table, yeah. And people can sit on either side. And I was like, thank God.
Yeah,
it's cool. So I just wanted to hit a little switch.
It's just a switch.
Yeah, it's just a switch. But I was like super nervous.
That was for hazing.
Yeah.
That was funny. When I got one of my cabinets, a Mr. Do cabinet from Chris Carl, like his did that. I was like, how many years has Chris been thinking this has been broken?
Yeah, yeah.
And flipping upside down. And I was also like super loud. He's like, I can't even play it. It's too loud. And I'm like, well, there's a volume knob.
My Donkey Kong cabinet was extremely loud when I got it. Because I guess it was like in the middle of like a party scene all the time. Yeah. But I first turned it on and it was like... like you heard him coming in. It's like, holy shit, it sounds like somebody's banging on my door.
Shook the other soundboard loose.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. Like you look inside the machines, they look like crazy and foreign, just filled with wires and insane. But then once you learn like what the components are, like they all have the same stuff. And like you can open them up, turn down the volume, mess with the dip switches. Like you can learn that stuff pretty easily.
And you can give yourself more mance.
Yep. Yeah.
You can start Donkey Kong with 7.
You did that, right?
Yeah, I did that.
You have like 5 or
I think I have 7 now.
It's 7.
That's really useful because you can actually practice the cement factory.
Yeah, like there's some levels
you can get
that
there like just messing around and then like really concentrate and get good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like going over to your house and just practicing doing the trick on Donkey Kong's foot on the
you can jump on his foot and get on the infinite points.
The last level. Like if you get
so I've always heard you can jump over his foot.
No, you can't jump over it. But
it doesn't work.
One pixel.
You can do it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Scott's definitely done it in front of me.
Really?
Yeah. I walk
wow,
right up to him.
That is some minus world shit.
You stand right next to his foot, and it's one pixel away, and you can just jump forever.
That is so cool.
And you'll get 100 points every time you jump
until the time runs out.
I learned that trick actually when I was at the California Gaming Expo or Computer Gaming Expo.
What is that?
Classic Gaming Expo, sorry. Classic Gaming Expo in San Jose. And Steve Wiebe was there. And it was when they were filming King of Kong. And he did that on a machine. And
he would have had to because he's not as good as a Donkey Kong player as Billy Mitchell.
He did.
So he would have to use
You're such a Billy Mitchell fanboy.
Actually, I am.
Really?
Yeah. He loves Billy Mitchell.
He's the best video game player ever.
You say that all the time.
The game...
I would love to see Billy Mitchell try to play Halo.
No,
I would love that.
The game of Ms. Pac-Man...
He would fucking be the best at it. He'd be so good.
I think he can only play 30-year-old games.
He's the best video game player that's ever lived.
There's a shot in King of Kong at that same event where Billy Mitchell is playing Ms. Pac-Man. I started that game with him.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and my legs are in the background because I was like, I just walked away.
Have you guys ever had his hot sauce?
No.
No, I haven't had it.
You've had his Kool-Aid.
I tried to get it off the website. Damn. You like Billy Mitchell.
I do. I mean, it's impossible to not think he's a dickhead for that movie. But And then he went on and he's like, oh, the way they edited it was like, I was like, well, dude, were a dickhead in that movie. I don't care what they, it's not like they edited in you being a dickhead.
But he has a right to be because he's the greatest video game player.
Oh, jeez. Come on.
High five, bud. What about his sister? She's almost as good as him.
I felt so bad because
Billy Mitchell.
The day before I went to pick up my Donkey Kong cabinet, I showed my girlfriend that movie, and I was like, "This was a bad idea because she's going to think I'm going to turn into one of these people now."
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that was me showing my girlfriend.
Yeah. My girlfriend on Hulu right now. There's a movie.
Scott and our respective girlfriends just watched a pinball documentary that was
called Special When Lit. And
oh, man, the people in that.
Yeah.
You think the Mappy Champion is something.
Really? It gets worse than the Mappy Champion?
Oh, it gets worse.
I didn't think it could get worse than the Mappy Champion.
These guys have houses. They're hoarders for pinball.
For pinball and pinball parts. And they keep, like, super detailed instructions. And we saw this at California Extreme when these guys go up to these machines and they start writing notes and leave them on the table. Like, they'll go around and they'll check the serial number and they'll be like, oh, well, this one was inside of the
water bath. So that's what was cool. When he brought up where his Donkey Kong machine came from, like, it was this place and this place and this place. It's fun to see, like, the paper trail from that.
Yeah.
So these guys, like, have, like, binders of that. They go to conventions, take your machine that you brought to your convention, examine it, and try to figure out where it was. And then they can, like, tell you, most people, like, where every Adams Family game is now.
Yeah.
It's like those people like that can tell you, like, your family.
Not on computer either. Like, on paper.
That's crazy.
It's insanity. And my girlfriend looked at me while she was watching it, and she goes, you better fucking never, ever get a head injury because you're going to turn into that guy right there.
Yeah. And then my girlfriend kept on watching and saying, this is exactly like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to promise my girlfriend I wouldn't turn into the Mappy Land champion guy. I was like, I promise you.
I'm not familiar with the Mappy champion. What is this?
Did you see...
Do you know what Mappy is?
I know the game.
Yeah. You saw King of Kongs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there's this one part in the movie where...
Mouse Police?
Mappy is basically about Mouse Police.
Mappy is Mouse Police. Yeah.
So the Mappy champion is this guy, like, no matter what is happening in the house, if he's in a game of Mappy, he won't answer the phone, he won't shut the stove off. Like, he's playing Mappy. That's what he's doing. Like, he's got the
horse. Is this guy in King of Kong?
Yeah, but here's the thing. In the actual, like, theatrical cut of it, they just show this guy talking, and then there's just his subtitle is Mappy champion. They don't talk about it at all, but it's great.
When
they're on that cabin. They're like, all in that retreat.
The cabin is like...
They're like, we have a Mappy machine. No, it's Ladybug.
We got a Ladybug high score going on right here, guys.
In the cabin, on the retreat. I was like,
for my old site, I interviewed Mr. Awesome, Roy Awesome, mm-hmm. for the Missile Command. Roy Schlitt, the Missile Command champion.
Yeah.
And goddamn, that guy's crazy. If you thought he was crazy in the movie, like, I spent an hour and 15 minutes on the phone with that man. And by the end, I was like... I don't even have to tell you, but because he was just like, you know, I don't even know what to do anymore. Like, you know, my wife's gonna leave me, and sometimes I come home and I just want to play Missile Command, but my hands don't really work anymore, and I'm like, whoa. I was like, I just thought you were gonna talk shit about, you know, Billy Mitchell, and he's like, yeah, fuck that guy. But also, in the '80s, I should have been a celebrity, and you know, this never happened. But now I have arthritis.
Because he was on an episode of That's Incredible.
Yeah,
like that's his whole reasoning for why I should have been a celebrity.
He did that film of himself, though. That's in King of Kong.
Yeah.
It's like him and the American flag, and he's doing like the army routine.
Yeah. He went on to do some porn apparently too.
Gay porn.
Yeah, gay porn.
Well, yep. Really?
Yeah. Gay porn.
But he has a wife.
Missile Command.
Yeah. He had to change his name from Mr. Awesome to something else for that, I'm sure.
Now he's Grandpa Awesome now. Senior Awesome.
Senior Awesome.
Yeah.
Alright. All Donkey Kong's 1, Donkey Kong Jr., and Donkey Kong 3 are all great. But surely Donkey Kong Jr. 4. Math is the best
in
the series.
I hate math.
Yeah. I love getting drunk and playing that game. Great two-player Donkey Kong.
It is. You know what? I played a lot. It's funny because it was an unlockable.
IGN gave it a 3.0.
We did?
Why don't we even review? Did that come out of
it's
virtual
console game.
Why?
they sold that?
I've got to get it. That's such a great thing that happened.
I know. It's so awesome.
That's almost as good as Buckner and Garcia being in Rock Band.
I know.
You could buy Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
I had forgotten that Donkey Kong Jr. Math was the launch title for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
That's part of the Education series.
It was the only release in the Education series.
Yeah. Didn't they also launch with Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr.? Or was that?
No,
I don't
that
think those
was
were
way
launch
later.
Titles.
No,
those came later.
No, you're talking about the combined one. But yeah, those definitely were out at launch. Yeah. Just Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr. The black box versions.
Yeah.
Black box versions were out.
Donkey Kong Jr. didn't even make the box art.
No.
I love
you
the
play
old.
Well, who do you play? Because you play. There's two player mode.
They're just
you
both play, Donkey Kong Jr.
They're both Donkey Kong Jr. with different colors.
You play as a multiplication symbol.
But the reason I played a ton of that game was because for whatever reason, I unlocked every single NES game in Animal Crossing,
in
college.
Yeah.
And you
could get codes to do that, I think, is what it was.
No one told me that.
That's when
time.
I played it. So, I mean, I have it now,
trading with people until they're like, hey, you got a couch? Yeah, cool. Got Donkey Kong Jr. Math. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You got Donkey Kong Jr. Math? I gave you a lamp. And then I brought it back, and my house in that game was just an arcade of NES games.
Yeah.
And I was like, Donkey Kong Jr. Math. I'm going to play a lot of it. And it had two-player, and the two-player was great.
Guys, we got to make a dedicated Donkey Kong Jr. math machine.
And we got to re-review that
game. The first one ever.
I love the old NES boxes that's just a screenshot and that's just floating in space.
Yeah.
Right?
I love
Sam,
that.
Sam, can we get that for your PlayChoice 10?
You could probably do a chipset swap.
We'd have to,
I should do that.
Because it wasn't official. But if Donkey Kong's on there and it's so similar that you can actually just get the chips out of NES games and like put them on the other games. It'll never say in the selection screen Donkey Kong Jr. math, but it'll say like,
I will
Donkey
learn how to solder to do that at your
Yeah,
house.
We could do that.
All right, let's
It's funny because people
but
say
we need the dedicated
people
side
say Nintendo
art
is totally crazy now.
They were crazy. They've crazy always been then. Crazy. Yeah.
Like, think about it. Like, people now that were like, whoa, Wii Sports, that's nuts. Like, no, no, no. They launched.
But none of us knew math before that game came out.
No, I learned all my math from that.
Yeah. So the way the game works, it's based off of one screen of Donkey Kong Jr., right? I want to say it's the third screen that you make it to.
The first?
Where you have to push the key locks all the way to the top.
Yes.
But instead of pushing the key locks, you just, like, you want to, like, it'll show you, like, 32 in the top of the screen.
There's an equation that's blank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it says equals 32, but just with the times symbol or just with a multiple, you know, right? And it's blank on either side. So you have to figure out if it's 12, you have to go to 3 and then 4. But it's competitive somehow. You have to get there like
first. You just have to do it first.
Yeah. Okay, there's two different.
Yeah, you just have to reach
so
it
much
first.
Math in that game.
But that's all the game is, right?
So much math. That's all it is.
It's I got to say, it's pretty fun.
It was a launch game.
It's considering.
Yep. They were like, we're ready to do this. What do we got?
It's a launch game?
It's a system seller.
It's the loudest 3DS game ever made.
I have the full NES launch lineup right here.
All
right. I don't know if you guys... Did you guys get an NES launch? I did.
Clue Land. You didn't get it. Well, did you live in New York City for the original launch like that?
Well, no. It was released in that territory first.
That's
but
awesome.
I got it in 1985. Yeah. I had the Rob with the light gun.
Did you have Stack Up?
Yeah. No. That was separate. Yeah. But my box came with Duck Hunt, Gyromite, and Super Mario.
Did you see it in the E3 booth, the classic gaming booth there? They had a Rob packaged separately. Like anybody would ever buy that?
Wow, they sold it separately?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It was such a cool box. It's just like buy your robot.
Rob was their Trojan horse to get into.
Yeah. So why would you sell it separately?
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I remember at my Long's drugstore, they had the Rob right next to the Arkanoid.
Mm.
Just they sat there
with
for
the
years.
Valve controller.
Sat there for years with spiderwebs on.
I got my NES in New York from a chain store called Crazy Eddie's, which we had. This was a huge thing on the East Coast. Yeah. And then we found out that Crazy Eddie was like embezzling all this money and his brother snitched him out and sent him to jail. So Crazy Eddie's were no more.
Hmm.
But there was one night where we drove and got the NES from Crazy Eddie.
A friend of mine went to Mexico a couple years ago and bought an entire store stock of sealed NES games for $2 a piece.
What?
And he's just been selling and paying his rent. I went over to say, I didn't know he'd done this. There's a guy that has been over, like, I think you've met him, Scott. It's this guy named Dave. And like, we went over to his house and like, he had a wall of just like shelves that he'd been paying his rent with. And he's just like, well, you want one? And I was like, sure. And I was like, he just gave me a sealed Life Force, like completely, like brand new, like with the
wow.
stickers.
Life Force is a great game.
Life Force.
He
is
had
fantastic.
A sealed Princess Tomato.
I returned Life Force as a kid.
What?
I was fucking stupid. Let me explain this. I saw the commercials for Anticipation, and I was like, that looks like such a fun time. Look at this crazy
That's just
party
a match game, right?
No, it's Pictionary.
I'm guessing you didn't play Life Force before.
I hadn't played Life Force yet, and I looked at it, and I was like, I don't know. I don't want to play some dumb game where you're flying a jet inside of a snake's mouth.
Yeah,
that looks stupid.
That's exactly what made that
game. I want to play the game that where the cast of Square One is on the couch having fun.
All right. You didn't like the game where the first level ends with you fighting a brain with arms and an eyeball on the
front. If that was on the back of the box.
And all of a sudden you're in an Egyptian temple.
Yeah. This sun level's really cool.
No, I wanted to play the game where the high heels and the shoe and the teddy bear drew a picture of a pencil.
I would want to see the moment those two guys got out of those ships. At the end of the game, we're like, what happened? Like, dude, you have no idea how crazy that was.
Don't
he was there, probably, I was there.
We were inside the skull.
They probably couldn't go back to the regular lives.
Yeah, because half the game was inside a human body.
Hey, thanks for taking those 6 power-ups in a row, by the way, back there.
Thanks for stealing Ripple, asshole. I got killed by a sea slug.
Thanks for taking the lead when you had lasers and everything.
Impossible to beat without the Konami code.
You had to use the Konami code.
Because at the end is the mad dash out your
and
escape.
It's lightning fast.
Double speed.
Yeah.
That was a great mode for the NES to get into. Like,
I didn't even know
it could
do. I was like, I don't even know what Nintendo could do this.
Yeah.
It
just
blew my mind. Yeah, it was amazing.
Flicker.
The original NES launch lineup consisted of 18 games.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
10-Yard Fight.
Awesome game. Awesome arcade game.
Baseball.
Very good game.
America's pastime.
It was baseball. Clue Clue Land was not good.
I never played.
If you learn how to play Clue Clue Land, it's kind of interesting.
Nobody learned how to play Clue Clue Land.
You know, Miyamoto designed a black box game that didn't come out here that should have been in that bunch called Demon Demon something or Devil World? Devil
Demon
Wind?
Souls.
Not Demon Souls. Something like that. It's about a devil. It's like it has religious iconography in it, so they
I did not know about that.
I'll show you. I know what it's called. It's called the
Donkey Kong Jr. Math, Duck Hunt, Excitebike, obviously awesome. Mm-hmm. Golf, where like the full-size grown man version of Mario is playing golf.
Yeah, that was weird.
The Mario Open Golf for NES is really great.
Gyromite, Hogan's Alley, Ice Climber. Mm-hmm. Very good. Kung Fu.
I don't know if it's very good.
Well, okay.
Hogan's Alley, though.
Kung Fu is awesome.
Kung Fu is awesome. And I'll argue for Ice Climber. I like that game.
Yeah.
It's not great.
It's wacky.
It's very wacky, and it feels very dumb at times. Yeah. You're like, why am I even here? Why am I doing this?
I like how the polar bear sunglasses like takes it easy for a while, and then he slides.
Yeah, yeah. He's real cool, but you can piss off a polar bear in sunglasses real quick.
Yeah.
Chop up his mountain.
Mock Rider.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really weird one. Great music.
That was kind of like a tech demo-y thing where it just showed off, like, wah, you go really fast. But Rad Racer was like right around the corner. So.
Pinball.
Awesome game.
And then Stack Up, which I never played.
Not
that
awesome.
Was the other Rob the Robot game.
I have Stack Up and like some of the pieces for the Rob. I don't have them all.
Just two Rob games, right? Just Jaromite and Stack Up?
That's all he needed.
But he could play anything with you. He's there for you.
He's so versatile.
I still have one on my desk here at IGN. There's still a Rob the Robot.
I have all the parts and stuff. We could hook it up now that we have the actual CRT.
Not his. NES. Yours has a broken neck.
Mine has a broken neck.
I have a couple
broke
of them.
His neck.
Remember I was using them as bookends here for a while? Yeah, I had the two of them here.
Ooh, I just got a warning. My startup disk is almost full.
Yeah, I've seen that one before.
Dismiss for now. Hope that's okay. Super Mario Brothers, Tennis, Wild Gunman, and Wrecking Crew. I think Wrecking Crew is an overlooked game.
That is a weird one.
Overlooked Mario.
That has a messed up Mario in it.
And you can create your own levels in there. You have a level editor.
What a launch that was.
Just like Excitebike. Right?
Lots of great games in that launch.
Maybe we're just old and I think that's amazing.
Yeah, none of those games ever make like top lists.
No. Mm-mm. No. Well, Mario does, but...
Isn't that weird, though? Like, I mean, those games are so little, even for the... I mean, you can just see the progression. Like, at the end of NES, like, how different and amazing games were. Like, Super Mario Bros. 3 compared to, like, that first round. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing.
Well, they've done that with a lot of things. I mean, we just put up the review for Super Mario Land, and in the review, there's an actual pixel-perfect image of how big Mario is in that game, and he's, like, 12 pixels tall or something like that.
Yeah, it's really tiny.
And then they did Super Mario Land 2, where it's like, oh, here's a full-on Mario in a cartoon world running around.
Yeah, we
don't have to have the Koopas turn into bombs anymore.
Yeah. You don't throw out rubber balls.
Yeah, you get fire flowers again. That's great.
We have some listener mail here. Listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. Richard Wilson wants to know what the top five must-have games are for the NES and the SNES.
Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
Yes. Everyone's going to have their own five.
Kid Icarus.
Hot Slots.
See, Kid Icarus.
Bubble Bath Babes.
Yeah.
Life Force, for sure.
Life Force, for sure.
Anticipation.
You really think Life Force is really?
So we're talking about NES right now.
Contra is obviously fantastic. I mean, I don't see how that wouldn't be in anybody's top
Bubble Bobble, Mario 3.
Bubble Bobble is the best NES game ever.
I just say that because like, him and Brian like, love it so much.
I love Bubble Bobble.
That was my
it has one song for 160 levels. It just goes on.
I love that when I was a kid, too.
Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta be the best
all three of them.
I mean, all three of them. But if you only were going to get one, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I think Punch-Out.
Punch-Out's great.
What an incredible game. I never got into Punch-Out until recently.
Punch-Out's the best puzzle game ever.
Super game. Mega Man 2.
Thanks.
People go back and forth between 3 and 2.
I'm a 3 guy.
You can't go wrong with either one.
Yes.
That's true.
The Tengen Tetris. Mm-hmm. Tengen Tetris. Yep.
What about Super Nintendo games?
Wow.
Chrono Trigger, we just gave a 10 again.
I love Chrono Trigger. That's
just came out on Virtual Console. Chrono Trigger.
Final Fantasy VI, I guess. Those are boring games, though, for like if you want to just start a game now and like play for fun.
Link to the Past?
Link to the Past, Super Mario World, ActRaiser is really fun.
Oh, Yoshi's Island.
Yoshi's Island is great.
That is a masterpiece.
Yep. Super Mario RPG is also a masterpiece. Very
good. Which is actually
that's tough
really
for me to get
short...
through now.
Really? It's a really short
game. It's fun,
game.
But like it's grindingly like vapid RPG-wise. It's just like, ugh. Like, really? I'm going to go collect mushrooms to heal a guy?
Well, if you
again?
Just want a game to jump into, Mega Man X is a great
Mega
action
Man X
game
is great.
On Super Nintendo.
Don't get the Super Scope. Stay away from that.
No, there's some Mega Man games to stay away from. Mega Man 7 sucks and Mega Man Soccer.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah,
sucks.
In case you didn't see the word soccer in the title and assume that it sucks, Mega Man Soccer definitely sucks.
Although you also can't play soccer as Airman.
Yoshi Safari is terrible.
Super Punch-Out's great.
Yeah.
Super Punch-Out's good. Not as good as the original, I don't think.
But can I get some love for ActRaiser?
Yeah.
Weird.
Brian mentioned ActRaiser. It's good.
ActRaiser 2 is not good.
No.
Totally different game. Super Metroid.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Perfect game.
Super Star Wars.
I can't believe we went that far without remembering that one.
Well,
I think I said it wrong. Yeah.
I was just biding my time.
Am I the only Super Star Wars fan in here?
No.
I thought those games were too hard.
Yeah, really? Love those games. Hill. He loves like Super Return of the Jedi.
I love those games. Those games are awesome.
I love them because they're Star Wars things that George Lucas hasn't retro-fucked up yet. Like, yep. He hasn't gone back and added dumb CG
Since we
tom-toms.
Left off Tetris and Dr. Mario, you can get Tetris and Dr. Mario in a really cool combo card for Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And you can play them. Like, you can play a game where you play one Tetris version A, then Dr. Mario, Tetris version B, adds up the score for both people.
Oh, my God.
And they're competitive versions, so you drop stuff in each other. It's such a cool mix.
That's awesome.
Great graphics. And also Tetris Attacks for a good puzzle game.
Tetris Attacks, very good. This is Nathan Haga. He says, my first console was a Super Nintendo, so I love hearing about those games. One thing I'd like you to talk about is the difference between Super Mario Bros. 3 and new Super Mario Bros.
8 extra bits.
Huh. Really? I mean, that's like
new
20 years of difference.
Oh.
Well,
what he's saying is Donkey Kong Country 2 is my favorite game of all time. So when Donkey Kong Country Returns came out, I was super pumped. But after playing about half of it, I realized the same feeling and vibe was just not there anymore.
Yeah. That's because Donkey Kong Country 2 sucked.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, there is a big difference in Mario 3's levels are often more just as vertical as they are horizontal. And you can fly up, and you can do all the stuff upwards. And
that's
then
the biggest
like,
thing is that you can fly.
Yeah, you can fly, 3. Right? And then they're also short. And then there's a cool map screen with secrets. So all three of those things are not in New Super Mario Brothers. There's no cool map screen with secrets. Uh-huh. There is, but it's like grid. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And then you can't fly, right? And then the levels are like long and sprawling.
And there's no frog suit. Mm-hmm.
That said, even though Damon hates that game, I think it's really good.
Which one?
Hate is too strong a word.
New Super Mario Brothers?
I just think it's
loathe.
Meh. I'm super psyched for Mario Brothers 3DS. On 3DS, that new Mario game.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, that game is fun. So that actually does the elements that are missing from New Super Mario Brothers. The levels are super short, and it has Koopalings, which is crucial.
Steven Robinson wants to know if any of us played a Super Nintendo game called Equinox.
I remember Equinox, this one? Yeah.
What?
This is
the one where Harry Potter gets naked?
Box art.
Yeah.
If you remember this. Yeah, it's a sequel to an NES game called Solstice.
Yep.
Wow. Now, these are both isometric
nerdy RPG games.
Yeah, well, I don't know if RPG is the right word, but they're like fixed screen games where you're going from room to room solving puzzles.
Yeah, I guess it's not really RPG, but because you're a wizard, though, right?
Yeah. And because they're isometric, like the jumping on the platform is ridiculously difficult.
I was reading a Nintendo Power where they had the counselor's corner, and they asked them their favorite game, the video game play counselors that help kids with the games. And this guy is like, I like sports, video games, and Nintendo, or whatever, so it's all normal. And then his favorite game is Zanac.
Which one was that?
I don't even know.
Oh, it came around.
I've seen it.
Zanac?
Z-A-N-A-C.
Sure you didn't say favorite drug?
Zanac.
Was that... Was that the one with the cover? And
I think
had,
it's a night game.
And it had an alien with one eye.
I think it's a shooter.
Had an alien with one eye and like eight.
That's
eight
Abadox.
I was just going to say that sounds like Abadox.
That's Abadox.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how weird this game in obscurity is. We'll check it out. We'll check it out. We'll get back to you.
Steven also wants to know if we've played an NES game called Time Lord.
Yeah.
So this one I never played, but I remember the box art.
By Milton Bradley?
Stupid game.
Yeah, it's totally Milton Bradley.
I remember that.
You'll see that one.
I've definitely never played Time Lord.
There's so many games where I remember the box art, but I never played the game. Because I would go to the video rental store and like...
The latter half of the NES's life was very weird. There was a lot of stuff that just kind of appeared and it was like, what? Like it, when it started, it was like, hey, biking, baseball. Now it's like, oh, Ninja Gear. What the hell is that?
Ghost Dun. That was our fake game.
Zaxxon. Like, what?
Well, Zaxxon is an old arcade game. Yeah. Did Zaxxon ever come out on the NES?
No.
Zazix.
Because it was Sega.
It was Sega. Yeah. It came out for the Master System.
Yeah.
With the 3D vision glasses.
Same engine that built Zaxxon, one of my favorite arcade games, Congo Bongo.
I love Congo Bongo.
You can swap that out in the Zaxxon machine. Not like you want to.
Again, another isometric game.
Yeah. What a great game.
Oh, yeah.
You played that? It's a Donkey Kong knockoff with an isometric perspective.
It's so much more than that.
It is.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it? It's super good graphics.
Yeah. I don't think so.
It's really cool.
Really, really, really good game.
Good music, too.
I love that game in college.
There's like digitized gorilla sounds in there, too, isn't there?
I don't know. But the ape has a big red nose, and it's really funny. It's like classic, like... anime style.
I think you're thinking of Jungle King. That was the one that had the digitized Tarzan yell. Oh,
okay. That's when you're swinging from vine to vine.
That was that one turned into Jungle
Hunt. Jungle Hunt because
with the pith hat.
Because they had to put clothes on him because it's too much the Tarzan. Yeah.
Which is weird because so there's the Tarzan lawsuit, right, from the Edgar Rice Burroughs family, and then there was the King Kong lawsuit on Nintendo's Donkey Kong. Yeah. So the arcade craze, like at the height of it, people were just like, stop ripping off stuff. We can make money off this. And they did. They sued people. They usually lost. Not that time. I was going to buy a Jungle King, the original one with like Tarzan, the hair and everything. And it was from a Tarzan collector.
Really?
And it was like, I've had this game in my Tarzan collection for years.
Whoa.
And it was like, it was a picture of this house was just like, I don't know, Tarzan stuff.
Did it look like a treehouse?
It was in Pacifica, too. It was like a beautiful house on the side of the ocean. Just filled with Tarzan. It was an old lady.
Weird. Wow.
The Tarzan's been around for 80
years.
Well,
yeah.
Did she have the
she had Jungle King.
So she was a Tarzan fanboy.
Bought it new.
Did she have the chimpanzee bones from the old cereals?
What?
The cereal.
I thought you meant like the box.
No, not the box.
From
the chimpanzee.
I was like, they put chimpanzee bones in Tarzan.
No, but I want to buy the skeletons of all of Lancelot Link and the Evolution Revolution.
Oh my god, that would be awesome. Can you set them up in your house behind their instruments? With their wigs and the glasses.
You guys have seen that show?
I haven't seen it.
It was a kids show from the 60s where apes were wearing a swinging bubblegum band. And they also were super spies.
Oh, I think I did.
They would just electrocute chimpanzees. They
used to show it on Nickelodeon.
Their mouths would move.
They do really good, cool things. Like, there's this episode Scott and I were talking about where, like, this chimp opens up a golf. First of all, it's pretending to play golf. This is all in one shot. It's pretending to play golf well, and then really it picks up the golf club, screws off the end, and talks into it like a phone.
No, screws off the end and pulls an antenna out.
Yeah.
A chimpanzee
this
in
is
one shot.
It's
and like, then he starts moving his lips like he's talking in the same shot.
So, of course, they can play Miss Pac-Man.
Yes.
No question about it.
They can also play in a rock band.
And we probably shouldn't be shaving them and injecting them with stuff all the time.
No, leave them alone. Stop sending them to space. Let them get high scores.
No, I mean, if I was a chip, I'd want to go to space.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know, because didn't they like inject heroin into them when they did stuff right in space?
They did on Lancelot Link.
That's our show for you today.
No more reader mail?
That's all we have. We're about at an hour time, so we're out of time.
Yeah.
If you want a copy of Pac-Man Fever with a signed album insert from Buckner and Garcia, just email gamescoop@ign.com, put Pac-Man Fever in the subject line, and I'll pick 5 at random. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Damon.
Thank you.
My name is Damon. This is the Back in the Day podcast. And we're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.